061 Bible Study, 26th of September 2012.
Right, praise God. So, who would like to start? Share something.
I'll start.
How many
say?
Well, we're both eager, aren't we?
Okay.
Age before the young people. Ashley thought I was going to say something else, didn't she?
Oh, well. There you are. Well, this is
good. And if I know what,
you could be assuming wrong.
I could be.
Right.
It's because I'm excited. I'm sorry.
Don't jump in the gun.
Can't help being excited. No, it's all good.
Well. Joe's an almoner for the Ghost Fellowship, and if people are poorly, they go and visit him in hospital, and go and visit him at home, and all that. He's even got me visiting him now. If they're a couple, you know,
We'll have to get you set up as well for the visiting in church.
Oh, don't worry, I'll be giving the. You know, I'll be taking the little things around, little prayers and things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this Eric, they call him. Well, his wife was in hospital, Paula Barbara, and she was in hospital. And Joe says we're really upset because she'd had a massive heart attack. She'd had heart attacks while she was in hospital. And they were visiting her like 24 hours a day. She was going to die. And her kidneys were failing and they changed tablets and they seemed to work better and all that. And then he got a phone call from Eric and he says, Barbara's home. Joe says, Barbara's home? He says, yeah. And she's eating well and she's going to toilet with a walking stick. He says, the doctors can't believe it. They don't know what's happened. We don't know what's happened. We can't believe it. And so, of course, Joe was that excited, wasn't he? He rung you, didn't he? I was in town.
My dad rang me. He says, I can't believe it. He says, I can believe it. He says, I've just got to tell you. I can't get hold of your mum. She's in town. She's not answering the phone. I says, look, Dad, calm down. I says, I'll get hold of my mum or Natalie. I says, and I'll get them to ring you as soon as
there's something I haven't said. I'll just stop you there.
My dad said that she was expected to die. The doctors had said she would not survive. So that they were all waiting for her to die, basically. There was no hope whatsoever. So this is a poorly lady in hospital, couldn't come home, couldn't do anything. She was very poorly, wasn't she? Not eating, all this, ready for sort of death. So I just wanted to stress how poorly she was. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you can go on if you want.
Yeah. Well, before then, this Eric had rung and said, is Joey? This is while she was in, you know, where else you were in hospital?
Well, he's asked you to pray anyway, hasn't he? He'd asked you to pray for him.
That's it. It's because it's a long time coming, you see. I was remembering it. And he rang me and he says, it's Joe. And I says, no, I'm afraid he's not in at the moment. Can I give him a message? So he said, and then he started talking. He says, well, my wife this and my wife that. And he was telling me all these things about her, you know, how poorly she was and how they changed her tablets. And I says, it just come out. I says to him, well, the power of prayer is very, you know, the power of prayer is very
effective.
Yeah. And he says, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Right. So I says, well, I'm a Christian as well. And so we were talking, and I says to him, God bless you. And then it was like after that, like we'd click like that, and then we get this phone call, Joe does, to say she's home.
Eating.
So I'd missed that little bit out, you see.
She's even eating and having. My dad said she's eating, doing this, doing that, as if she's just not fuller.
You were saying it's a miracle.
Of course, everybody's trying to make her sit down and rest because she's been through what she's done. But the simple fact is, she was laid in hospital, waiting for death.
Yeah.
And Eric had rang up my dad and my mum, very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum, she's on the phone. She was more positive. She was very positive and said, "The power of prayer." Quite simply, didn't you?
Mm.
You said that. You can't remember exact words what you said, can you? That's the trouble. You
I said that, the power of prayer.
And you said you'd pray as well.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And of course, when my dad rang me, he would just... I've got to tell your mum. So I'm there, ringing my mum and all this, and then I'm ringing up and she's in this... Well, I'm in Topshop. I says, "Mum, just come out the shop."
I'm shopping
I'm thinking,
in Topshop.
Just come out the shop.
Having a good time, you know.
I said, "Just come out the shop and talk to me." And I'm very eager, you know, and you just think, enemy, go away. Bring them out of the shop, you know what I mean? And I'm just trying things on. And I'm so desperate to tell her. And because I was so excited, and my dad was as well, because it's just an absolute miracle. If that's not a miracle...
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
Praise God.
Yeah, something you've got to get excited about, didn't
you? Power of prayer. Thank you, Jesus.
Who was saying, what were you saying? It's your mum. It's your mum.
Your mum's done it.
I says, it's not me, it's God. I'm only a vessel.
Yeah.
That's right.
Talking to it.
Just the messengers, aren't
it? It just comes out, though, doesn't it? You know.
The doctors are just absolutely flabbergasted. They're absolutely dumbstruck. They can't just think what she's doing. And she's eating like she is.
Thank you, Jesus. You have a purpose and a destiny for him.
Yeah. And there's another couple we went to the call, a mate, and she's lovely. So I've been to visit them, mate and Bob, I think they call it. And he's getting on a lot better. And she says, you know, we're talking. We've been to visit him a couple of times. We're going next week. And she brings cakes out and tea and whatnot. And last time we were coming out, and because of course I told him about Christy. You talk about your children, don't you? And she says, "I'll tell my daughter to pray for Christine." She says she's a big church goer. And I says, "Well, I'm a Christian." So she says, "Well, I'm a Christian." And I thought, crikey, I can't believe all this. You know, bringing us together, so I can't wait to see her again and take her something, you know, and have a talk to her about it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Lovely opportunities, aren't
they? Yeah, there's opportunities coming,
Me and my
I'll be doing visiting all over the place, so.
That's
wonderful, isn't it?
Just gossip the gospel, though.
See, this is why I'm still on earth. I've got a lot to do,
to fulfil, lady.
I'm still here, as Joyce Meyer says. I'm still here.
Yes.
And we are.
Thanks for helping me out, love.
Oh, it's all right.
Forget it.
But we are. We're all still here to do the work of the kingdom.
Mm.
There is something for each and every one of you to do.
Yeah.
And don't turn around and say, "My part isn't very important," because that's where you are wrong. A simple analogy that you can use is that a gearbox in a car. There are large gears and small gears. There are gears that are used all the time, some are not used, they're only used part of the time. But if one of those gears breaks or chips a tooth off, then the gearbox struggles to work. And it's so important that people realise. The Bible says as well, it talks about the parts, that we are parts of the body. Some parts we adorn it, you know, you ladies, you put makeup on your face, and your lipstick and your earrings and everything else, and your diamonds, and you adorn yourself. And us fellas, you know, we have a shave.
Pit Wilson.
That's it. Yeah, we're
put your gel on, but you forgot tonight.
Put gel on, yeah, I'm putting my gel on tonight, so there you go. But you see, the scripture then says, but there are also vessels, there are vessels of gold and silver. that's like the adorning, and we make ourselves look wonderful in areas. But then it says there are vessels which are used as just simple earthen vessels that really people think they don't have a very important function, but they do. Because without each of these vessels, without each of the parts of our body being in use, we will struggle. And same with the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs to be fully functioning. Many people might think, well, your thumb's not much use, or your big toe's not much use. But it's surprising. Your big toe helps you balance as you walk. I remember a minister shot his big toe off by accident with a 12 bore. He was carrying a loaded gun, climbing over a stile. And as he got over the other side, bang, the thing went off, and so did his toe. That went off. And he had to learn to walk again because that toe had gone missing. He'd blown it away. And so you have to realise at times that what you might think at times is unimportant, or, you know, it doesn't really matter too much, does it? Everything is important, because everything fits in its place to do a job, and there is a purpose for each and every one of us to fulfil in the body of Christ. Tonight, I might turn around and say, Tabby might say, well, I don't know yet about the Bible. I'm not really tuned in much to God's ways yet. But there's a future for him, and there's a purpose for him. Somebody might have been going on with God a lot longer and knows exactly where God's taking them, and the things that God is doing, and they've experienced things. He's got that pleasure and that joy to experience these things. And so it's important that we encourage one another, we share with one another, we support and pray for one another. And because it's not how great you are. It's not don't get this one wrong. It's not how many souls we win to Jesus.
No.
But it's are we a witness?
Mm. Oh yeah.
Do we let the light shine? What's our prayer life like? Some people are called to prayer. And there was a place in the Scottish Isles where two ladies prayed for years for revival on their island, and they were getting into their 80s, and they prayed for years and revival hadn't come, and somehow an opportunity came up, and they invited this evangelist to come, famous evangelist, and he had to cancel, so he sent one of his supporting speakers. They weren't impressed when he arrived. They turned around and said, well, we wanted so-and-so to come because he's famous and etc. And so they were a little disappointed. And this young man came and he started to preach. And within a few days, the whole island was coming to Jesus.
Amen.
You see, it wasn't about the young man, but it was about the prayers that had already gone and ploughed the ground, had prepared the way. People are praying for Tabin, and as the ground is being prepared, then we pray that as his life is sown into the things of God, then we shall see a blessing, we shall see an increase in him and in his future, and that his life will affect others in a very positive way. And stories of mysteries, and you know, when there was one story where in England where an evangelist won a young gypsy, I think it was Gypsy Smith, won him to Jesus. And he was the only one that in that, there was a campaign in a church going on for weeks, and he was the only one that got saved. And people would look and think, well, that's a waste of time, isn't it? Waste of time, waste of money. Only one person got saved. But that young man became a firebrand, became an evangelist, and won thousands to Jesus. So, how do you measure success? You and I can't measure success.
No.
Because we really don't know what success is.
No.
Because the world has different types of successes. In some eyes, it's money. how much you've accumulated. In some eyes, it's things, how much things you have, how many friends you've got. But in God's eyes, have you been faithful?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been faithful?
That's all he asks.
To his word?
Yeah.
Have you built your relationship with him?
Yeah.
That's, to him, that is the most important thing. Because you see, when you have a relationship with God, when you meet people along life's journey, you introduce them to your best friend.
Yeah.
Every time.
Mm.
You introduce them to the creator of the world and all things, and you introduce them to the miracle worker.
Mm.
And there is nobody better to introduce them to.
Mm.
There's nobody that can outshine Jesus.
Amen.
There is nobody that can outdo Jesus. You introduce to the best thing. You introduce them to the best gift, the gift of eternal life.
Mm.
And when you do that, that is one of the greatest, that is the greatest miracle, when somebody comes to Christ and makes him Lord and Saviour.
Mm.
That is the greatest miracle.
It is.
Healing's fabulous, fantastic. Raising people from the dead, you know, we'd say, oh, that's even greater, you know. But, well, the greatest one is when a soul finds Christ and begins to walk that journey and stays close to the Master for the rest of their lives. That's the greatest miracle. That is the greatest thing that you can ever imagine happening to anybody's life. And you know me, I love to hear of people being healed. I love to see people being healed. I love to see the hand of God moving through a congregation. But the greatest one still is when somebody gives their life to Jesus and lives that life forever in the presence of the King of Kings. And that is the greatest one. And that's not to put down what's been happening, because I think that's fantastic. Because we, as a church, we've seen so many people healed over the years. Sometimes I think we're possibly a bit like a doctor's surgery.
Mm.
They come in, they get healed, they go out.
Yeah.
That's okay. If that's how God's going to use us, that's fine. But our focus has to be that we focus on him and him alone, and not just the healings and the miracles. You're a miracle. You're a miracle.
I remember when I came back.
You're a miracle.
You said, what are you doing here? You said, I know you were coming back, didn't you?
Yeah. When you see what God can do, it is powerful. And this is the God that we serve. But there's an enemy that comes against us and tries to steal from us. But we have to press on.
Amen.
We have to push forward, and we have to stay focused. Fix your eyes upon him, the author and finisher of our faith. He's started it. He's helping work the process through with us. He's going to finish it.
Amen.
With us. And so we're a work in progress. And he's the one who's going to bring us through into the fullness of the blessings of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we keep our eyes on Jesus. So easy to get distracted with the things of the world. Become downcast.
Yeah.
Depression is one of the things that we see so much in today's society.
Mm.
Drives people to drink, to drugs. And then next thing you know, they take their lives. And we have to realise that God wants you to get closer to him. You see, today society is getting bored with itself.
Mm.
There's no peace within a person's life. How many people do you know today that can actually sit in silence and be content?
Few.
Well, I've seen a lot of people who aren't at peace and aren't unhappy, more and more.
Yes. The problem today is that nobody turns off the TV, the radio. Every shop you go into,
Music.
It's music.
Yeah. Exactly.
rather think it's music. And it's like, oh, will you turn it off? Has to be on. You know, and it's like, why? Because people are afraid of their own thoughts.
Mm.
You sit somebody down and say, let's be quiet, let's be still. You know, guarantee it's not long before they're disturbing it.
And it's amazing what can set these thoughts off as well.
Yes.
The other things set them off without even, isn't it? What can happen? Can cause a lot of trouble, especially in pubs. If something happens, you get drinking and then that's it. You, something happens and you think, I've had that before, you pass. You think, and then that's what, there's trouble.
Yeah, every time. And you see, but we have to come back then to the Word of God. And in Isaiah it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord.
Mm.
We have to get God's thoughts into our hearts and minds. Mm. We have to get this Word.
Yeah.
This Word gives us direction. The Word of God, the Bible, gives us direction, gives us a future, and shows us how we can move forward in God. And we need to realise the importance more and more of the Word of God. You see, you've seen in this last week how the Word of God has changed a person's destiny.
Mm.
The doctors are saying they're going to die, and as you say, they're waiting for the death. They're waiting to sign the death certificate, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They've got a long wait.
Yes, they certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we will put Jesus in within what's happening, with what's happening, with what we're doing, we will see things change.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't understand why things take a little longer. But God is working, and he's working to create something better than what we've seen before.
Yeah.
I don't always understand it by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know this, that God never fails.
No.
No,
man.
Human beings fail,
but
God never fails. And it's important that we realise how God wants to work in our lives in such a way that we've never known before. So let's keep pressing on. Let's keep gossiping the gospel. Let's keep sharing Jesus. Sharing Jesus. Sharing Jesus. He's the best gift that you can ever give to anyone.
Yeah.
We know people who've had some form of relationship with the Lord Jesus and have drifted away, and their lives become a mess.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You see, if you look at Romans 12, Romans chapter 12.
Verse 2.
Yeah. This is...
It's all in
it's
that,
a prime scripture, this.
It is, yeah.
The simplicity of it,
yeah, it is
so real and so powerful that we shouldn't... Maybe this is one that we should write out at times and stick it on so that every time we see it, it just reminds us to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be, my version is the New American Standard, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, the Bible there, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, the world has a system, the world has its ways, but if you will take hold of God and take hold of the Word of God, he will change all of that.
Amen.
He will reverse the curse that the world has got. And the curse that is on the world today is death.
Yeah, it is.
It's death.
Yeah.
But the moment that you take on the Word of God, the Word of God brings
life.
Just the opposite. Such an important, this scripture is so powerful, and the fact that the Word is saying to you and to me that if we will take the Word of God, it will change our thinking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And in changing our, not only will it change our thinking, but it will also change our physical being.
It will.
Because Jesus spoke the word to the sick, to the lepers, to the blind, to the deaf, and they were healed.
Yeah.
Though many times he didn't touch them, he just spoke the word. With the centurion, he sent the word and his servant was healed.
Amen.
Now, we have to learn to believe that when we speak the word, that word is going out. And it's that word carries power. Creative life, power.
Yeah, it does.
Life or death. Yeah, well, that's right. There's that scripture in Proverbs. There is life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
So we have to come to that point that, and this is why we've said in the past, watch your tongue.
Yeah.
Watch what you say. Give you a thought. Had a thought whilst you were talking. Next time you meet, have a verse of scripture.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Have a verse of scripture.
Yeah.
And say, before we start anything, can I just read you this?
Yeah.
Don't comment on it. Read it. Let the word do the work. Right? That's what God said to me. When you see her, take a word, take a verse of scripture, read it, just drop it there. She might not want to read the Bible, but guess what? You plant a seed. You've been ploughing the ground, plant some seed now, and watch that work. Because when you speak the word out, it begins the creative action. It begins the creative force of changing things. So you need to just say, well, I just want to read this and do that. You get told a lot of all the stuff that comes in the tabloids. Or I just want to read you this from my tabloid.
Yeah,
it's the Bible.
I like it.
Just only one verse. Don't go anywhere, just one verse, something that really,
not that one, you said.
That one's a good one. Yeah. Find other scriptures, you know, Proverbs is life and death is in the power of the tongue. And just so scriptures. It says, confess, speak it out. It's the power of the tongue. It's not, you see, if you remember, I say to you, I say it wherever I go, when you read the Bible, read it out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Because the word has a creative force. It's no good in your mind, right? It needs to be set out. It needs to be released. Otherwise, if it's just in your mind, it's like a bird that's caged. Wants to get out.
Yeah.
But the cage door, your mouth, is closed.
So faith comes by hearing.
Well, thank you, John. That's going to be the next step. That's right. Yeah, no, that's great, John. It's fabulous. And by speaking the word of life, speaking the word of God, that then, as John says, faith comes by hearing. Faith begins to rise and become strong. And so these are very important things that we need to do. That you speak the word out. The Bible says that you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over your life. You don't think it.
This is leading me on to something else, you see, because, you know, once when I went out front there a few months ago, I said about salvation. I said that I would like to put the final stage on my salvation by doing the confession publicly, because Jesus did everything publicly.
Absolutely.
You know, up to now, I've decided that I'm going to take Jesus and become born again, this sort of thing, the same, but I've done it in the privacy of my own self.
Yes.
So I would like sometime, if I could go out there and do it publicly.
I'll do it with you.
Yeah,
I will
as well. Everybody else would like to.
I did say that we've had
occasions when we've had new people come in, and where the speaker or somebody, the leader, has said if anybody would like to come out and give their heart to Jesus, would they come out here with the hope that the new people would do it? And the fact that the other people didn't do it means that they think they've already been saved, so they don't have to bother. And I thought, well, next time it happens, I'm going out there, and it's never happened since.
I'll be joining.
So
if somebody's there who'll think, well, I want to, but I daren't.
You see, you can do this in one sense as many times as you want, because you're encouraging somebody else.
Yeah.
And by confessing that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, you're also declaring this in the spiritual realm, to principalities and power. You're saying, I belong to Jesus Christ, and you have no hold on me. And you declare this. And I'll tell you this, God rejoices, the angels rejoice in heaven. for one soul that is saved, they don't understand salvation, but they rejoice in it, because the angels, that's something that they can never experience and know. But for us, that is the treasure, that is the joy that God has for us. And and God gets excited about when you and I come to salvation, and when we declare, you know, the Lord saved me, he found me and he saved me. I thank God that he found me and saved me when I was around 16 years old. Oh, we had our ups and downs for 2 or 3 years. But at 18, I knew that I had got a call on my life for the things of the kingdom of God. What it was exactly, I wasn't sure, but I knew God had placed his hand upon me. And my own mother knew that God had placed his hands upon me. And he had placed me and anointed me ready to do something for him. And look, I'm not looking for fame. I'm not looking for fortune. I don't really care. All I want to do is I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. Mm. I don't want to fit in somebody else's glove.
No.
I don't want to fit in somebody else's shoe. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do.
Amen.
And that is glorify him.
Yeah.
I want to be the one who does what God tells me to do. I want to see the kingdom of God established in my life and in the lives of others. I want to see signs, wonders and miracles. I want to see what the Bible says it does.
Amen.
You know, people say you can't judge a book by its cover. Well, look at the Bibles. All these Bibles have all got slightly different covers on them. So you couldn't judge it as to what it is. You have to get inside and start to taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
You have to get hold of the Word of God and taste the content.
Mm.
And realise that there's more to this than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. There's more to this than the senses of the smell.
Mm.
There's more to this than the touch. Mm. There's more to this than the hearing. There is much more, because there are signs, wonders and miracles that the seeing can't understand, the hearing can't understand, the smell can't understand, the taste. None of these, your natural senses cannot understand the power and the mystery of the gospel. It is an impossibility. But when we release the word of God into people's lives, their lives change. How? I have no idea. You can spend as much time as you want trying to find out, because I'll tell you why. Because it's a miracle.
Exactly.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle that every one of you are here tonight. Some of you should be dead. But the power of prayer, and when I say prayer, I mean prayer that has been spoken out. In other words, we've prayed out the word of God, and we've sent the word of God out and sent it to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Sent it to heal. And that's why people are alive and well, and are better than what they were a few years ago, against medical science. Because the word of God is going out in power. The word of God is being spoken. And I'm telling you, when you read the word, read it out aloud. Because the devil fears and trembles when he hears the word of God. Particularly when a saint of God, when a child of God starts to read the word, the devil begins to tremble. Because he knows that you are actually beginning to find out the mystery. He knows that you are beginning to find out what you really are. He knows that you're beginning to find out how powerful that word can be in your life.
Amen.
And how it can affect others, and he gets scared.
Mm.
He's thinking, oh no, Christine, don't read your Bible, you're too tired, lay down and go to sleep, you just don't need to read it tonight.
I'll tell you something, this morning I'm reading something out loud, and what a day I've had. I read something out loud. Can I read you this?
Please,
I'm sorry.
Go on then.
Well, I'm waiting for
it. She's hanging on here. And if you don't fit, Bill will cut it out, I'll tell you.
I do want to put in, but I'm so excited. Because
you'll never guess what I read this morning.
And then we move on, yeah.
But this fits in with everything what's been said today, because, well, God's been working a lot on me with a lot of things. and I've got to thank, it's amazing how it works. Bill, for one thing, started off with the black box, that little black box.
Praise God.
And everything I'm listening to.
Mine's a white box.
And also, recently, out of the goodness of his heart, he knows how much I like Joyce Meyer, give me a Joyce Meyer. So I've been listening to Joyce Meyer as well. And Helen, brought, bring all the books in, I've started doing a course with Ray. Oh, and it's fabulous. And if the amount of times I have felt like I've sat there and said to Ray, I feel like I've been slapped across the face so many times. And so I've been excited writing these little things out, and all week I've been writing little bits out. And I'm just giving you a feed off to start with how I've come to do this, because it I've just thought, crack, it all fits together. But anyway, this morning I woke up, it's been 8 o'clock, gets up, and I thought, right, I'm going to have a cup of coffee, take it to bed and sit in bed and read. Anyway, this is another story, because Natalie brought me this, it's like a word for today. Now, Natalie's not born again, but anyway, it's like a, I think it's a UBC.
UCB.
UCB, that's it. And I've looked at that and I've not been able to put it down. In fact, part of my testimony, what I did, was through, was it on Sunday? I read it, or we can't remember. I've read one recently, and it was from there what really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today I read something, and it's not today's date even, it was just something I looked at today, and it said in it, right, get your Bible and read Psalm 139. So I want to read it to you, because if this isn't, says it all, this is exactly what I thought. And this, can remember me getting me this, Andrew? You got me this.
Yeah.
Some time ago.
Yeah.
And I keep this in my bedroom, and I'm reading this sort of at night and everything. And, but this really did.
What's that then?
This is, what the book means. It's CEV, I don't know what that's.
Oh, yeah.
Was it kind of Bible? Translation of Bible?
It's a different translation.
It's like
a, yeah.
Well, I term it as, in English terms, it's like a simple English book, if you know what I mean. But I thought, I'm going to fetch this because I read it today and it just rung out to me. So, yeah, I'm going to read it. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working. And from heaven you discover my thoughts. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go, because I even speak a word. Oh, hang on, sorry. Before I even speak a word, you know what I will say. And with your powerful arm you protect me from every side. I can't understand all this. Such wonderful knowledge is far above me. Where could I go? Where could I go to escape from your spirit or your sight? If I were to climb up to the highest heavens, you would be there. If I were to dig down to the world of the dead, you would also be there. Suppose I had wings like the dawning day and flew across the ocean. Even then your powerful arm would guide and protect me.
Amen.
Or suppose I said, I'll hide in the dark until night comes to cover me over. But you see in the dark, because daylight and dark are all the same to you. You are the one that put me together inside my mother's body, and I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. Everything you do is marvellous. Of this I have no doubt. Nothing about me is hidden from you. I was secretly woven together deep in the earth below. But with your own eyes, you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do. Your thoughts are far beyond my understanding, much more than I could ever imagine. I try to count your thoughts, but they outnumber the grains of sand on the beach. And when I awake, I will find you nearby. How I wish that I could kill all cruel and heartless people. How I wish that you would kill all cruel and heartless people and protect me from them. They are always rebelling and speaking evil of you. You know I hate anyone who hates you, Lord, and refuses to obey. They are my enemies too, and I truly hate them. Look deep into my heart, God. Find out everything I am thinking. Don't let me follow evil ways. but lead me in the way that time has proved true. And that's the end. Now it does sound a bit kind of saying about killing people and hating people, but it does relate a bit to what I've been through, because I have been upset by a lot of people. So do you know what I mean? Anyway, I just wanted to say that because it. So I read that, I thought, wow. And I was at peace, but I thought, I'm going to get up, right. And my thoughts were, put computer on and do something. And then everything what I'd been thinking about that week all come together, and I'm sat there, early morning, I put this together. And everything I'd wrote down, bits and bobs, doing this, what Helen did, what Ray did with this. This is what I'm saying, it all pieced together, yeah. Everything. Mm-hmm. And I knew I'd got to put something together, and I thought, and after I'd done it, I thought, wow. So I want to read it because it means a lot to me, this. I have been in the wilderness, swaying with the mentality of others, the flesh of this world, people around me without even realising it. The enemy seeks his prey being people who are vulnerable, people walking around in fear. I have been a good prey for the enemy, quite simply because I allowed it. We have been talking about the Bible, the Word. Jesus is the Word, and it is him who speaks to us through what his Father God tells him. I have listened and been woken up, and feel I need to share this with all who will listen. I have been in a deep pit for so long, ruled by my yo-yo Christianity. It is only by reading my Bible that has brought me out of it. I feel so different in my heart. I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit healing me. Mm. I have to say, wow, thank you, dear Father.
Amen.
I know you are real. You have proved to me through your word. You have taught me about your love, and I seek it because I feel at peace and I am happy.
Mm.
I have security.
Amen.
Hence, I will continue with God's word because it brings life.
Mm.
I seek his law now. I don't want to live in the law of my flesh.
No.
My thoughts, my feelings, Satan's world. Isaiah 43 verse 19. In the New King James Version, behold, I will do a new thing.
Mm.
Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it?
Amen.
I will make a road in the wilderness,
yes,
and rivers in the desert. You, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life. Mm. God's perfect love casts out fear. God has put this onto my heart also. This is what I got through doing this course, what Helen gave me, the book that she gave me. And this rang out to me, and I thought, I've got to say this at Harvest Fields Church. I've got to do so. Here it is. All flesh is as grass,
mm,
and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of God endures forever.
Amen.
And that, I feel so powerful with that. And you know, I've got to add this to add a bit of a laugh about it, really, but I've been going through it, and this today, I was just so excited, I just needed to do this. I needed to do it, get it done. And then I was going somewhere today, and I thought, I'm driving along, don't know how much petrol I've got in there. I've got very little. Got to this lady's house. By the time I got there, I'd got 1 mile left.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, oh, no. And I thought, no, God will sort me out. You know.
You're not blonde, are you?
Well, you see, but do you know what I mean? It's just good to show you, because, and then I picked a different bag up, not put my purse in. luckily there was a petrol station round the corner. Now I'm driving into this petrol station, and by now on the clock it's saying no petrol. So when I got there, I had to lend £40 off my friend. I had to lend £40 to get some petrol. And I just thought, I was saying to God, this is all your fault. I know you'll bring me out of it. No. But I'm just telling you, it's just quite amazing just how God works.
He does.
It
does. He always makes a way.
He does.
The two verses that really jumped out to me are that Psalm 139, verses 17 and verse 18. And it says in my Bible, "How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the number of them."
Amen.
You and I don't realise how much God's thinking about you.
No.
See, God's in love with you.
Yes.
Right? And he's in love with you, you are constantly upon his mind.
Mm.
He can't forget you. He's always thinking about you.
Thank you.
He's passionate, you see. He's
Thank
in love.
Yeah.
And in reality, he cannot bear to be away from you.
Mm.
That's what it is. If you've ever had that experience, you know, you fell in love with somebody and you just... You don't want to leave them, and when you leave them, you know, you just wanted to be back with them. And this is how God feels towards us. And verse 18 says, "If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. But when I awake, I am still with thee." God's basically saying to the psalmist here that my thoughts are so vast towards you. If you went and stood and gathered all the sand grains there is in this world, my thoughts accumulate to more than that about you. Can you imagine going on Skegness Beach and getting all the sand together? Or you look at the vastness of the beach and then think,
"Oh, desert."
Well, yeah, it's a desert, yeah. Go and stand in a desert. And God's thoughts are far greater, he says, than the grains of sand that you could number.
Mm.
I have no idea how many grains of sand there are. I suppose if you got a bucket of sand and say, "Would you count those grains of sand?" You would be here quite a long time, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Especially if you miss one, it just starts again.
Yes.
No.
I mean, if we gave you, a 5-gallon drum of, shall we say, rice grains and say, "Count all those," even that would be a challenge to you, wouldn't it? And that is nowhere near the fact of how God is, how many times God thinks about you. How does it happen? I don't know. But God is the creator of all things. He knows the end from the beginning. He says he's the first, the last, he's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And it is so amazing that God, that you and I are on God's mind.
I thought when you said earlier on, it's funny, how you were talking and saying, speak it out loud. I was just imagining myself sat in bed this morning, drinking my coffee, reading this out. And where did it get me? Spending all morning doing, and I just knew I had to sit there then. And it's like God's saying to me, "Right, I want you to sit down and put all that together, what I've told you this week."
And you see, what it's doing, it is actually causing it to be formed in your heart, your mind and your spirit. And because that's how God is working with you. He's wanting you, well, he wants not just you, but every one of us to get a grasp of God's word.
Mm.
And the power and the meaning of God's word to us as individuals, that this word will change circumstances and situations.
Yeah.
This word has such a power that when we release it, it's better than releasing and the it's got more power and more effect than releasing a nuclear bomb. See, a bomb is destructive, but the word of God is constructive.
Mm.
Or it might come and knock a few things down, but the moment it's knocked something down, the word begins the process of building. You see, God is a builder. Sometimes he has to come and pull some things down.
He said to Jeremiah, didn't he?
That's right. Jeremiah was told that he was to pull down and destroy.
And then plant
and build. You see, God just doesn't leave it pull down and destroy. Because what does that leave you? A deserted place. a rubble site, but God says, clear it and then begin to plant and to build. See, God is always finishing the work, because the Bible says God is the author. He's the one who started it. He's the author, but he's also the finisher.
Amen.
And that's, and he started a work in us, and that work he intends to finish in us.
It does.
But we have to participate with it. We have to be involved. So many people think that they don't have to get involved with it. Just sit back and let it happen. I'm sorry, that does not work.
No.
That does not work one iota.
Keep my word ever before.
Yeah, that's right. The word of the psalmist says, keep my word ever before.
Joshua.
And let that word be life to you. Mm. You see, the book is, this book is so important that it's breathing life constantly to our spirit. And it's giving strength then to our physical being. Gives strength to us emotionally.
Oh yeah.
And causes us to,
you
see, we have a number, you know, we have birthdays, don't we? We have a number of age on us. Most of us don't even look it, feel it or act it. Why? Because I believe that this word of God, it says in the Bible that he renews our youth like the eagles. Get up on that crag, you know, and get on the high places and get rid of them old feathers. It's back to Romans 12 that we are. We've gone the circle.
He breaks his beak, doesn't he?
You know, the beak of the eagle gets all calcified and blunted and dull, and it can't feed itself. It can't, so it has to rise up into the heights, and it goes up there and it begins to shed its feathers, and it begins to smash its beak against the rocks, and it grows a fresh beak, a sharp one. Its feathers, it grows new feathers,
and then it soars higher,
and then it launches off and it soars in the heights, and it rises on the thermals without any, just about no energy being used whatsoever.
Wow.
And so this is where we are. We're back now, as I say, to Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't take a doctor's diagnosis as being final.
No.
Because it ain't.
No.
Go to Dr. Jesus.
Yes.
See him.
Yes.
And see what his advice is. Because I'm telling you, it can be totally different.
Amen.
To what the doctor... See, these doctors we have, it says they're still practicing. They've not yet fully not qualified, you know, and they haven't perfected what they're doing, so they're practicing on you and me.
Ooh.
Well, hang on.
Oh, yeah.
God's not practicing.
No.
He said he's the author and finisher.
He's the perfecter,
he's the perfecter of our faith.
He made us
so he knows us. He knows us inside and outside. So, Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your mind free. Let your mind go free in God. Because your mind will hold you back. Your thinking stops you moving on in God. You can't do this, you can't do that, you're not able to. Why? Yeah. Start to change your thinking. Because your thinking is going to release you into the things of God, and God will do great and mighty things.
Well, you've got to think.
I can, I will, and I am.
That's right.
I can do all things through Christ.
Yeah. You see, God is the I am. I am. What do you need? I am your provider. I am your peace. I am your joy. I'm your strength. I'm your health.
That's right.
I'm your provider. You see, that's who God is. Is the I am to your circumstance and situation. I am's the healer.
It's changed my personality.
Well, we know that. Yeah.
Since I've been born again, it's changed my personality.
Yes.
And the process is ongoing. You see, God wants every one of us to be stronger, to be more confident, not in ourselves, although that does happen, but to be confident in God. And as we're confident in him, then that same confidence just begins to flow. Because we trust him, yeah. You know, you and I have got something so important, so exciting to share.
Yeah.
This, what we have, will change the world.
It will.
Definitely.
Will change the world.
Definitely. Well, don't you share this, you say. I saw it.
You were, no, stop.
No.
So did you hear what you just said?
Confession. Dying.
Yes.
Sorry.
Were you really?
No, I wasn't.
Do we get a box? 6 foot
living.
Long? 2 foot?
Yeah. Oh, I do apologise. I do apologise, I'm sorry.
You see, we that's right, Tracy, yeah. The tongue. The tongue has, can set
gets
something
into trouble,
off.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
It's habitual figures of speech. Though,
yeah, that's right. But you see, these are the world's figures of speech. This is not what the Bible says. Jesus said, I've come that you might have
life.
Abundantly. And have it more abundantly. So you have been waiting. You have been living with ecstatic joy and excitement to release this word, you see.
Yes, ecstatic joy.
Now, if you say that in the world, they'll look at you and think, you're a crackpot. Now, if you'd have said, like you did, I'm dying, I was dying to tell you this, they'd think, oh, that's all right. But to say that you were ecstatically and joyfully waiting for this opportunity to see them, you think, you're a nutcase.
Don't say I'm afraid you said that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's right. So the world's conversation is constantly, has a leaning towards negativity.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
When you said before about that, angle, your thoughts, of worldly thoughts, it reminded me, I saw like a balloon, but it was tied down and it couldn't get away. It's just kept there all the time. But once it's free, once it changes thoughts, it can be free.
That's right. Those thought patterns.
It holds you down to the earth.
Yeah.
It does.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You see, God wants us to soar.
Yeah.
Like the eagle soars. We soar above the circumstances.
Mm.
We rise on the thermals. We're not governed by the fact that the wind is blowing us and we're being pressed down. The bird just literally launches off from the edge of the cliff and there is literally just about no movement in the wings.
No. Mm-hmm.
The slightest bit of correction. It's taken us, how long have we been flying aeroplanes now?
Like gliders were like that, don't they?
Yes, they do, but I'm just going to come to, how long have we been flying planes?
100 years.
Just over 100 years, right? Right, you know. Birds have been flying for a long time. Recently, in the last probably maybe 15 years at the most, we suddenly discovered that we discovered this by watching filming and videoing birds in flight at high speed on cameras to see what they were doing, and we suddenly discovered that the edge of the tips of the feathers, the wing tips, that's where some of the movement was, and they just moved them slightly. And what they discovered was, when they did this, if you see on aeroplanes, they have the wing that comes out, and then at the end of the
winglets.
Winglets, is that what they call them? There are these vertical winglets. They're not very big at all, are they?
No.
They're only small. You'd think, what can that do? But it actually increases the upward lift of that wing quite dramatically. And so the wings don't have to be as long. Just that little winglet.
Same as a rudder.
Yeah, and like a rudder on a ship, it's a small thing, but it steers a great ship. You see, these things, God knows, we're still discovering them, and we'll still be discovering things as we move on. But we need to discover the things of God as well, spiritually. You see, God has prepared for us great things. Be ye not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs to spend time in this book, the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Speak out the word of God. Because as you speak it out, it says, that you may prove what is the will of God. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. God wants you to speak it out because God wants you to see, and he wants to prove to you what he's going to do.
Yeah.
How he's going to change things.
You see, that what I've noticed as well, by reading the word, by doing this, the more I read it, the more I want it.
Yeah,
you do.
You know, because you what God says, or what you get told, is you've got to, you know, I've listened to Joyce Meyer. She says, well, pick yourself half an hour each morning or whatever, those things like that. But you find that as you're eating it, you want more.
You do.
And then you're annoyed because you've got to go somewhere else,
yeah.
I don't, wherever it is, work or whatever, and you want this.
You do.
Well, that's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've had you've had a nice meal and there's been a nice dessert at the end, you think, ooh, that was nice, wasn't it? Ooh, I could just manage another piece of that. And You go for it, don't you? Yeah, let's be honest, you do. Oh, that was lovely, you know. That's right, it's this desire that's within you.
Seven times stronger than your will.
Yeah, your desire is stronger than your will. Seven times, Grace says, she's read. So, you know, what are the desires? What is your passion? What is your desire? And if it's for God, you'll be in the house of God. You'll be active. You'll be communicating through the week with God. And when you come to church, you're like, hey, guess what? What God shared with me this week. Ooh, you just wouldn't believe it. And you know, you're rising up in strength.
But you can understand loving the word because it's Jesus, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. You love the word, as you say, because it's Jesus. Mm. So true, John, so true. And so it's important that we realise that this word is powerful and will change things around us day by day.
Just like Jeremiah 23:29, and he said, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces.
Oh, yes. And Jeremiah says, don't you, he's got the word shut up in him, it's like a fire in his bones. Or yes. Something.
That's right. You see, when the word is in you, it's there, it's ready to be released.
Yeah.
It's like a loaded gun.
You
see, Jeremiah didn't know about a loaded gun in one sense. It's about like a loaded gun, isn't it? It's loaded with a load of powerful spiritual bullets that it you is. Are like, I'm ready to launch one of these.
I'll have to tell you this. I was telling Grace over there. Well, I was like a bullet. Over night, me and Joe had a bit of a ding dong, but it was about somebody else. It was about somebody else, two people about something, but I can't say. Do you know what I mean? So, and I'm usually quiet because it's changed me when it, you know, if it's a bit, you know, I certainly notice, but before I become a Christian, I used to think, I'm not going to be a mouse and be trampled on like a doormat. Have you saying, yeah, you know. Anyway, we were having this bit of a ding dong, but then I just got so mad and I was shouting at him and telling him. He went to bed. And I went and opened the door and I was shouting at him while they were in bed. And he says, well, I've been thinking, but I can't say because I can't say it, you know. And anyway,
so I'm shouting
at him. So I went to bed.
Because he tried to talk to you about it, and then you won't talk to him.
No, I'm mad. I'm mad. And anyway, I went to bed. And when I got up next morning, we're in the kitchen, and he comes toddling in like a little lamb, and he looks at me and he says, can you forgive me? And I thought, praise the Lord.
He stood behind you, didn't he?
Yeah, he just come straight up to me like a little kid.
And that's not me, Dad.
Can you, you know?
Not
so it's right, change him. You see, I'm being different.
Mm.
I'm different with him. But this particular thing, and it's about somebody else. Do you know what I mean? Somebody else doing something.
But can you see how the enemy would seek to get in between people?
Yeah.
And yeah, in one sense, it's like, what's it got to do with us?
It does,
anyway?
Yeah. Well, it's other people.
Yeah.
It's not you.
No, and the enemy comes to divide.
Yeah.
Jesus comes to restore and to bring together. But the enemy wants to divide. And
he was just dead annoyed about.
And you know, this is where in John, it's the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
It's the opposite, isn't it? Give, take, light, dark, everything.
It's
the opposite.
Yeah. You ought to make a list, you. But
beautiful.
That's right.
Keep going.
Exactly. You know, the Bible is the opposite to what the devil is. The Word of God is the opposite. Yeah.
I could do a chart.
Interesting chart, wouldn't it?
I might do one for a share one day when I want to get my sin sorted out.
Praise the Lord. So God is so good to us, and he wants his word to be vibrant in us. But the only way it can be vibrant, and it's back to sharing it out aloud. Speaking it out aloud, because it brings life.
Well, the reason I feel like it's so alive that I couldn't wait to tell you, I wanted to say it. Like I said in there, if anybody will listen, I'll tell them. I will tell them.
But how did you get to know?
Know what?
about Jesus?
Well, get to know about Jesus.
Mm. How did you find out about Jesus?
My grandma.
Oh, come on. Can you just keep
it simple?
Do you mean brought me to you? No, no, no. How did you get to know about Jesus?
Did you read about it in a book?
Or did somebody tell you?
Well, somebody told me.
First thing, how did you...
Well, my grandma used to... Well, at school...
Pray with you, didn't she?
At school, we used to say... I remember at school, we used to say Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
But that was doing that. They don't do that anymore, do they?
No, no. But you see... But can you see how powerful it is? The words are powerful. Most of us came to Christ through the fact of somebody telling us that Jesus died on a cross because he loved us and that God loves us and he wants to redeem us back to himself. You didn't. Most of us didn't sit down and read it for ourselves.
No.
Somebody told us.
Mm-hmm. But there's something else that I need to share with you as well, because when I was thinking about it earlier on and I never said, and you've just reminded me again. I mean, I've known you with Grace a long time.
Oh, not that long.
But I always felt, I remember at cementation, I always felt drawn to Grace. I loved you both so much, and I never hardly saw you, you know, because we all did his own thing, and I hardly saw you at all. And I just knew something sort of said to me, I was always drawn to you, and I've got this feeling inside that I know what you say is true. And I know God's brought me to you too. I just know he has. Because I know you're my life, you're my family, you're my home, both of you. And
what
that's
about
what,
us?
Yeah, but that's what I feel I've got to say, because that's what's in my heart. That's how I feel.
But I think you always seem to have a spiritual connection with the person who introduced you to Jesus, don't you? Or put that spark there.
Maybe I'm not explaining things as well, but I'm just trying to tell you what how I'm feeling.
I appreciate what you're saying, Kristen. I understand where you're coming from, and I know natural ties, that's aside in a sense, because your natural ties...
Yeah, it's that spiritual thing, you know. I just know I know that God...
Yeah.
Well, I know it's not... We're not... It's not traditional. It's not as you walk in some church and you don't feel anything. You feel... It's religion, just religion.
Our sort of responsibility, according to the Word of God, is that we are to be spiritual mothers and fathers.
Yeah.
And we
That's
are to guide and to teach the Word. And so we have a great responsibility that we endeavour to teach the Word as truthfully as we know it to be. And if at any time we've taught something that was wrong and God reveals to us something different, then we will correct. We're not afraid of saying I was wrong, because the process of the Word of God is understanding the mystery and finding deeper things of the thoughts of God towards his people. And it's very important that we teach the truth, not to manipulate people, because God will judge on that. There are a lot of people who are teaching the Word of God and they're using it to manipulate people for their own ends. Teach it as it should be taught, and let the Word do its work, and we will see things happen. And if I honestly believe, if you set out a good meal, people will come and eat.
Yeah.
If they want to. If they don't want to, that's fine. You can't force them. And I've got to that point now, it's like, well, if people don't want to come, that's fine, because it's got to be their loss. I cannot do anything about
their
it
loss.
I'm not all things to all people, I know that, that's okay, it's not, but I've got to do what I've got to do in the Word of God, and we've got to be truthful with the Word of God. And I thank God for you guys, and I thank God that God is working in you and the process is moving forward, and we shall see signs, greater signs and wonders than we've ever seen before. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I think we're very close, all of us, and
I
think it's so lovely, you know. We all love each other, and
we can bring our needs here, can't we? You know, when you're needing something, God, you've got relations or family, or you you know you have Jesus and you want Jesus to go to them because you care for them and they love them, don't you?
Me and Mum's talked a lot about this, haven't we? About how close we feel as a...
It is important. You need a spiritual family.
I feel I've got to say it, you see. I feel I want to say it because I just think, well, if it can encourage anybody else, I mean, if it's God's brought me to where I am now, then I want to shout it from the rooftops and say, oi, get yourself in here.
Absolutely.
I don't know, you can't drag people in, but
I
don't mean
from.
That, but I just want to say it. And I knew, I did this today, and I just knew I'd got to, it were on my heart, and I was firing at it. I've got to do it today, and I can understand why, for instance, what Darv said, he'd got one message, and he had to say what he did on Sunday. He had to do. And that's what I felt. I thought, well, I can understand exactly where you were coming from.
We'll be needing you, so we'll be taking over.
Well,
Go for it, girl.
Well, don't forget, we're off to Africa shortly, so we'll get yourselves over.
All hands to the...
Me and Bill, me and Bill are going to front to be re-phone out again. She'll
be after some apples, Ellen. Helen. She'll be after some apples.
You'll be out of a job by the time you come.
Well, that's what I'm supposed to do with my final positions. Today I took my white box. Not that. Yours is a black one, mine's a white one, but it's got the same content. And I stuck it on my desk, and today I've been listening to some ministry. I think I was listening to... I'm not sure what date it was, but I was listening to myself preaching, not a boast, and then the next one followed on, and you guys were all sharing and everything, so...
And all of a sudden, Christine came on.
Oh, what can you expect? Can't shut her up. And, but it was good, the fact that even when the phone rang, you know, I just reached for the pause button, answered the phone, and then just when they'd finished, pressed it and started again, you know, and I was able to work and listen at the same time, so... which is great, because... There are times, running a busy schedule, at times you just think, I need some space. And I thought, I'll take you to work, and just, because the business is quiet, it's all right, well, I'll make the most of the time while I'm, I can do more than one thing, I can multitask. It's not just a woman thing, is it, Bill? We can multitask. You can do both hands. Well, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
And we'll be here Sunday, praising God, and... let's pray for them and change them. I believe, is it Ray's away this for the next couple of weeks?
No, he's here this week.
Oh, is he here this week? Right, okay. Then he's off to Canada. Good. Well, the Lord be praised.
Amen.
Keep gossiping the gospel.
Yes,
keep speaking the word out. And like I say, drop a verse of scripture out to somebody. Half the time they'll not know what you're giving them anyway. But what you are giving them is life. You're changing the thinking.
At me.
Changing the thinking.
Listen to this, Mum. I think the other day she rang me up 6 times.
Never.
Listen to this. I'm wrong. Joe says, what are you doing? I says, she's just reading these things she's doing.
A good thing to put to someone is to say, if you knew for a fact that you were going to die tomorrow, how would you spend today?
Yeah.
And whatever they come up with, say, spend every day like that, and then you will be happy.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. I'm glad you said that.
Well,
I didn't say that to somebody.
Well, actually.